wanted to get the time right.
Thank you.
I cast all my cares upon you. I lay all of my burdens down at your feet. In any time that I don't know what to do, I will cast all my cares upon you.
Father, this morning, as we're kneeling here in your building, your church, it's with praise and thanksgiving that we want to enter into your courts now, praising you for being perfect God in all your ways. Your justice and your mercy are perfect. We want to lay before you our sins, those that we have committed during this past week. We ask that you would forgive us, and we thank you for the sacrifice of Jesus on the cross. He took the penalty in our place. We pray now also for the cards that I have in my hand, and I know that there are many others who have silent requests, who have, each of us have our varied needs, our various perplexities, and we just want to cast them now upon you. All of our burdens we want to lay at your feet, and we ask that you would take care of them in the way that you know is best, that you would provide for all of our needs. And we thank you for how you have done that in the past. As we look to the past, we can look to the future with hope, knowing that you've taken care of us thus far. And we pray for the family of Mackenzie, who today will be viewing the body and grieving, continuing to grieve his loss. We pray that you would comfort them and encourage them with the Holy Spirit and the angels. We pray for any others within our midst who are sick today, who are suffering, and that you would give them comfort and healing. Pray for the angels to be here in our midst, and the Holy Spirit to help quiet our minds from the noise of the week, that we might rest in you, that we might hear your voice speaking to us through Pastor as he breaks the bread of life to us. We come with all of these things now and ask these in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Happy Sabbath. The Seventh-day Adventist Church has been a pioneer in broadcasting the gospel over television. Individuals such as William Fagel, George Vandermeer, and C.D. Brooks had the vision to use television as an evangelistic tool. Even today, many individuals get their first introduction to Adventist message by watching one of our television programs. Many of these individuals are not necessarily looking for the spiritual broadcast, but when they come across it, often their minds are open to the message. Today, this offering is being taken through North America for the support of various Adventist television ministries. You and I have the opportunity to support these ministries with our prayers and offering. Also, watch some of the television ministries programs, you will receive a blessing too. ask the Lord to guide you in return, in returning a faithful tithe and giving an offering for the Adventist ministry. And I call the deacons to come forward and take up.
O Lord, my God, when I in awesome wonder consider all the worlds thy hands hath made, I see the stars, I hear the rolling thunder, thy power throughout the universe displayed. When Christ shall come with shouts of acclamation and take me home, what joy shall fill my heart? Then I shall bow in humble adoration and there proclaim, my God, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee, how great thou art, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee, how great thou
pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the gift of life. We thank you for this Sabbath day that you have given us. Help us to be always giving in a cheerful heart, and also impress us not to be giving just to be rich, but to be giving always that way because we love you, Father. We want to thank you for everything, and we want you to accept this offering that we have given out. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Are you burdened and weary today? If so, this invitation from Jesus is for you.
Before my Father, which is in heaven. But whosoever shall deny me before men, him will I also deny before my Father, which is in heaven.
Scripture reading for today is Hebrews 12, verse 14 through 16. Hebrews 12, verse 14 through 16. Follow peace with all men, and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord, looking diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness spring up, trouble you, and thereby may be defiled. Lest there be any fornicator or profane person as Esau, who for one morsel of meat sold his birthright.
You know, I've been thinking about worship. What is worship? We are together here on Sabbath after Sabbath, and many other times during the week. And also in your homes, you have moments of worship. Hopefully all through the day, you have moments of worship. In fact, may the whole day be a day of worship. But we come here for corporate worship, coming together to worship God. And it's good to reflect at times on what that means. Now, that is not the topic of my message today. This is just a short introduction, something that just came to me as I was sitting there. He is in focus. When you sing, may it be singing to Him. When we pray, may it not be so much focus on the individual words as it is on Him who can answer prayers that go beyond words. As we read Scripture, these are Scriptures from Him. And as I speak this morning, may it be a message from Him as well. And so, whatever we do together here on Sabbath morning, may it be with an eye to Him, and may it be our worship. He is the one who is worthy. Worship means worship, and we're singing to His worth. May each one of us be blessed and be a blessing as we partake of His word here this morning. Please join me as we pray. Dear Father, speak through me and speak to me. As we seek your word this morning, may it take hold in our hearts and root out anything that will not benefit us, that should not be there, and grow the beautiful fruit of heaven. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, I've entitled my message this morning, The Root of Bitterness. And this is the scripture that was shared. I guess it's a little dark, that heart. You see the heart with roots in it. This scripture, I'm going to just go through it one more time. It says in Hebrews 12, verses 14 through 16, follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. Looking diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby many be defiled. Now, the passage that I just read teaches two things. That having a right relationship to man and to God is essential in order for people to see God in you. In order for them to see your witness, that it is a positive witness. And then it mentions bitterness, the root of bitterness, the topic for my message this morning. The author of Hebrews says that the root of bitterness will do what? It will defile you, and thereby many others, it says. Now, why did I choose to speak on this topic this morning? To tell you the truth, I determined years ago to speak about this subject relatively early in all of my pastoral districts because it's such a widespread problem that can destroy lives and can destroy churches. So I don't have any one church or any one person in mind with this message. I hope that will put you at ease. Rather, I've decided to deal with this issue because the root of bitterness is most likely present in all churches in some way or another. It's a very normal human tendency that can have devastating effects. So on this day around us, when the people around us celebrates matters of the heart, I have decided to speak to you about this matter of the heart. The word bitterness, as used in our text, it comes from the Greek word pikria, which means acerbity, or harshness or anger or irascibility is another word used, or discontentment when I looked it up in a dictionary. So bitterness results from unresolved frustration. Frustration over anger or envy. And the key word here is frustration. Frustration. Bitterness not only destroys our witness, but it defiles other people, the Bible says. Now, the word defile that we find here in the opening text that I read is from the Greek word miaino, which means to sully or to taint something, to contaminate something or someone, whether ceremonially or morally. In other words, it makes a person unable to properly worship the Lord. It makes a person unable to fellowship with God properly, to serve Him properly. Now, bitterness starts as a root. It starts as a little tiny root, and that's why it's so very hard to detect. The root of bitterness is not large or on the surface where it can be easily detected. It can be very large, but on the surface, well, we don't know anything unless the plant comes up, unless the fruit becomes evident. So rather, you know, than being out in the open, it's like an insidious cancer that works deep down in the marrow of your soul. And only after it has metastasized, only after that do symptoms come to the surface. And it comes to the surface in bitter words, in bitter thoughts, in bitter deeds. You see, bitterness is rampant in today's society. It's rampant in our families. It's rampant in our society. It's even rampant in our churches. Children are bitter towards their parents. Parents are bitter towards children. The divorced are bitter towards their former spouse. Children of divorce are bitter towards their parents for divorcing. And siblings are bitter over rivalries for parental affection and inheritances. I remember attending a funeral preparation meeting in a different district, and there were lawyers present because of the intense wrangling and the bitterness between children. It can happen. Many loving families have been destroyed by the bitterness that came from the reading of a will. There is bitterness in the workplace. Co-workers resent one another, and they resent their supervisors. There is class envy between employees and business owners. There is bitterness in churches. In almost all the churches that I have pastored, some church members have been bitter towards their previous pastor. I remember a church back in Norway. I have brought attention to it once before, where there were only, actually, I was sent to a district with no church. There were six or seven elderly ladies in that district. The average age in the youth, or AY, was 90 years of age. They were old. They waited for 30, 40 years for the conference to send a pastor to that district. So they had grown very bitter. They were bitter against the leaders of the church because they didn't have any pastor. So when I came there, even though now I was finally there as a pastor, one of them was still very bitter. And was that bitterness had grown such deep roots that what she had been aspiring for years, to have a pastor come and work and till the soil and work with them, now she was whispering and whispering and causing people to not coming to church anymore. That is, people that weren't even church members, because she had so much bitterness in her heart. She was over 90 years old, and I had to visit with her and confront her gently about the situation. And she did repent, tears were flowing, she realized that the root of bitterness had taken over her life. And so it can happen to anybody. And sadly, many pastors are bitter towards church members. In the one district that I was a pastor, the previous pastor had been treated very poorly by many church members. And specifically, when it came to one of the members, my understanding is that for a time there, he was hurting so much that he refused to shake her hand on the way out. And so things like that happened. Thankfully, reconciliation happened in that setting. That happened after he'd left, but letters went back and forth, and it helped. Bitterness between Christians over hurtful words and hurtful deeds or hurtful attitudes are deadening and dividing churches. Churches have been closed over bitterness. Now, worst of all, some are bitter toward God and towards His Word and towards His church. Now, bitterness will come out. Every cancer eventually manifests itself unless it is treated. And what about you? Do you suffer from a root of bitterness? Examine yourself. Do you have the symptoms? Do you have any one of the 10 warning signs of bitterness? When a person who has offended you walks into a room, how do you respond? I'd like to share with you 10 warning signs of bitterness. And the first one is, just a moment here. Do negative feelings immediately overcome you, causing you to put on a hypocritical happy face when a certain person walks into the room? You know, that's one question that you might want to think about. Next one is, do you intentionally turn away to ignore and to avoid him or her? And the third one, does the mere mention of his or her name leave a bitter taste in your mouth? And the fourth one, does thinking about him or her makes you sick? Does it give you a bitter stomach? And number five, do you have a similar negative reaction when you just hear his or her name mentioned? Do you resent his or her success? Hearing any good report about him or her, do you resent that? Do you secretly desire misfortune or failure or worse for the other person? This person that you have resentful bitter feelings towards. Does the person who offended you or hurt you come to mind often? Do you become obsessive about it? Do you mentally argue with them? Do you dream or daydream about that person or about the people that have, as it perceived by you, caused you harm or done something towards you that has created these feelings? Are you rejoicing in the failures and shortcomings of that person? And are you eagerly sharing those shortcomings with others? You know, these are some of the thoughts that you might want to consider. Some of the questions you might consider for yourself. If we have any of these symptoms, then we have at least a root of bitterness. Now, has that someone done something or said something that offended you? And did you fail to deal with it scripturally? And if you fail to deal with it scripturally, that means going to that person and gently speaking with that person about the issue. Did bitterness take root then in your life? Did somebody earn, or were they given something that you wanted, that you felt that you deserved? Did you allow a bitter seed to germinate in your mind and in your heart? Is it affecting you physically? Does it give you high blood pressure? Does it give you insomnia? Does it give you indigestion? I'm not saying that those things are caused only by bitterness. There are all kinds of causes for that. Is your home suffering because of your bitterness? Are others defiled because of you? Are your children infected? If they are bitter and rebellious, could it be that their bitterness and rebelliousness comes from you? We do reap what we sow. So if you have this disease, have you unintentionally contaminated others with it? Make no mistake about it. When bitterness takes root, many around you become defiled. Hearts and homes and churches have been destroyed because of the root of bitterness. Now, you may think, I don't really need this. I don't have a bitter thought in my life. And that's wonderful. Praise God for that. But let this message be preventive, because it is an easy root to grow. And so I plead with each one of you to search your own souls and to take these matters to heart. We need a cure. The Bible gives us a cure. But beware that complex issues rarely have easy solutions. Now, when I have a long-rooted weed in my backyard, I can just pull the visible part and hope to get the whole root. But it's not going to happen. It's not going to happen. I may get the visible part of the root, of the weed, but I'm going to miss the root. And if I miss the root, I'm not going to get rid of the weed permanently. If I don't get to the bottom of it, it will come back with a vengeance, with a mature root. So I have to go digging to see and to remove the hidden root. That's how the problem is solved. In other words, superficially, we cannot solve this. Superficial approaches to complex roots are not likely to be successful. We need to carefully examine and dismantle the root of bitterness. In other words, as I said, we need to get to the bottom of it. And pastoral experience has taught me that this process involves careful and personalized digging, discernment, and counsel. Now, Proverbs 20 and verse 5 says, counsel in the heart of man is like deep water, but a man of understanding will draw it out. So let's take a look at the Bible prescription for curing bitterness. Or should I say, the keys to cure bitterness of the heart. Let's take a look at those. The first one is, consider yourself. Consider yourself. And in Psalm 129, verses 23 to 24, the Bible says, search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts, and see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. Search me. Know me. Well, God knows our hearts. But basically, we want Him to reveal to us if we haven't a clue ourselves. And He can use various ways of revealing that to us through other people. Unless, of course, we are easily offended. or through His Word, or through impressions, or through just leading us through circumstances that will reveal it to us. One time, the revivalist Dwight Moody found himself listening to someone expressing bitterness toward someone else. And you know how he responded? He said, "No doubt, the problem is with you," he said to the other person. Now that's direct. The problem is with you. Either you have been wrong in word, in thought, or deed, or you've been wrong in your reaction towards those who have offended you. And I like that. That's very often the case. It says in an article in the Review and Herald back in 1897, a long time ago. This is a magazine that has come out from the beginning of the Seventh-day Adventist Church. And this article was written by Ellen G. White. And she wrote this. She wrote, "I beseech all who engage in the work of murmuring and complaining because something has been said or done that does not suit them, and that does not, as they think, give them due consideration, to remember that they are carrying on the very work began in heaven by Satan." Not very flattering, is it? "They're following in his track, sowing unbelief, discord, and disloyalty. For no one can entertain feelings of disaffection and keep them to himself. He must tell others that he is not treated as he should be. Thus they are led to murmur and complain. This is the root of bitterness springing up, whereby many are defiled." Pretty straightforward, isn't it? Pretty direct. Now, while I'm at it, let me share another quote from this messenger of the Lord to us, one that really spoke to me. It's from the same page. It says, "Through apostasy, fallen men and fallen angels are in the same confederacy, leagued to work against good. They are united in a desperate companionship. Through his evil angels, Satan contrives to form an alliance with professedly pious men, and thus he leaves the church of God. He knows that if he can induce men, as he induced the angels, to join in rebellion under the guise of servants of God, he will have in them his most successful allies in his enterprise against heaven." And so if this is the case, wow, we as church members, as Christians, we want to make sure we are on the right team. That we're not, I used to play soccer when I was younger. And as I mentioned once, I once was a coach for a girls' soccer team back in Galesburg, Illinois, just to be visible in the community. And I remember one time, if I remember correctly, one of the girls scored a goal, but it was in the wrong direction. Yeah, that happens. That happens. And the rest of the team were not jubilant. You know, it says, continue on this page, "Under the name of godliness, Satan can inspire them," and she's specifically talking to church members here. "He can inspire them with his own accusing spirit and lead them to charge God's servant with evil and guile. They are his trained detectives. Their work is to create feuds, to make charges which create discord and bitterness among brethren, to set tongues in active service for Satan, to sow seeds of dissension by watching for evil and by speaking of that which will create discord." So, my friends, consider yourself. If you harbor the sin of bitterness, have you asked God to search you and to cleanse you from it? That's the first one I wanted to share with you. Consider yourself. The second one is confess. Confess. It's part of the process of dealing with bitterness. It says in 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. God is ready. He is ready to forgive. He is ready to cleanse. Now, if your doctor told you that a benign-looking little mole on your arm was actually a melanoma, the most dangerous form of skin cancer, and that melanoma can spread to your liver, it can spread to your lungs, it can spread to your brain, what would you say? Would you just say, we'll just let it grow? Or would you want to have it removed immediately? Why then will we let a little root of bitterness remain in our hearts and our minds? It's much more destructive than cancer will ever be, eternally, when it comes to your eternal life. You know, it says in 1 Corinthians 11:31, for if we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged. So, consider yourself, confess, and confront. Confront is the third part of this prescription. It says in Matthew 18:15, moreover, if your brother sins against you, go and tell him his fault between you and him alone. If he hears you, you have gained your brother. So it says, after you have considered yourself, and after you have confessed your sin, then and only then, confront with compassion and with Christlikeness those who have offended you. Tell him or her their fault privately. Now, many Christians have never realized that they have wronged someone else. Have you ever hurt someone and not known it? Well, I have. And more than once. Pastors do that all the time because we say things from the front that can hurt somebody's feelings. I've had people come up to me after sermons and say, Pastor, you offended me today. And I put my arm around that person and I said, good. But it wasn't me, it was the Word of God. Now, we were able to talk that way. I wouldn't do that to everybody. But it's something that, you know, the Word of God is going to always offend, or not offend us, but if we have the wrong spirit, it's going to always offend us. It's going to affect us in that way. But my point here is, give people the benefit of the doubt. It's the Christian thing to do. A sincere Christian will be quick to make things right. If a person comes to you and talks negatively about someone else, what do? Well, ask them, what are you telling me? Or why are you telling me? Go and talk to that person that you're talking to me about, the one who has said or done things that you think are wrong. So we need to learn to confront with love, not gossip and defile others. Because that's what gossip does. It defiles other people behind their backs. Now, so consider yourself, confess, confront, and here comes an interesting one. Comfort yourselves. Now, you may wonder, what does the pastor mean? How do we do that? Well, it says, if it is possible, as much as it depends on you, live peaceably with all men. Now remember that Matthew 18:15 said, if he hears you. If he hears you. So if it is possible. You see, some people do not repent. And some people do not see their wrong. Even if you come to them and confront them. And if they do not do right, well, then they're wrong. However, if you have done all that you should do, then you can comfort yourself in the fact that you've done what is right. And there is nothing more that you can do other than to pray and keep praying for that person. Don't worry about it. It is the offender's problem now. If you have done all that you should do. And so, consider yourself, confess, confront, comfort yourself. And then number five, I put Christ-likeness. Christ-likeness. And be kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another. Even as God, for Christ's sake, has forgiven you, it says in Ephesians 4. Forgive, to be forgiven. Forgive like Christ would forgive. Love like Christ would love. Walk like Christ. Talk like Christ. Would Christ harbor roots of bitterness? Why then would I? Are you a Christian? You know, harboring bitterness or unforgiveness is like drinking poison and hoping that your enemy will die. Doesn't make much sense, does it? So, you know, here's a quote that I'd like to share with you from a book called That I May Know Him on page 187. And it says, instead of finding fault with others, let us be critical with ourselves. The question with each one of us should be, is my heart right before God? Will this course of action glorify my Father, which is in heaven? If you have cherished a wrong spirit, let it be banished from the soul. It is your duty to eradicate from your heart everything that is of a defiling nature. There comes that word again. Defile. Every root of bitterness should be plucked up, lest others be contaminated by its baleful influence. Remember how we talked about being contagious Christians? Tomorrow, I'm glad many of you are coming to that seminar. How to be, you know, a contagious Christian. Well, this is not the kind of contagion we want to spread. The baleful influence of bitterness. Do not allow one poisonous plant to remain in the soil of your heart. Root it out this very hour and plant in its stead the plant of love. That Jesus be enshrined in the soul. Christ is our example. He went about doing good. He lived to bless others. Love beautified and ennobled all his actions, and we are commanded to follow in his steps. And then it says, in this final quote that I'd like to share with you, the work of building one another up in the most holy faith is a blessed work, but the work of tearing down is a work full of bitterness and sorrow. So bitterness comes back. It's like a boomerang. When you're trying to hurt others, or you feel like hurting others, you're hurting yourself. Christ identifies himself with his suffering children, for he says, inasmuch as ye have done it unto one of the least of these, my brethren, ye have done it unto me. Matthew 25, verse 40. Every heart has its sorrow and disappointments, and we should seek to lighten one another's burdens by manifesting the love of Jesus to those around us. If our conversation were upon heaven and heavenly things, evil speaking would soon cease to have any attraction for us. I don't know about you, but I kind of see here that the emphasis is on filling our lives with something else. Because if you don't fill your life with something else, Satan will take hold. You know, I'd like to share with you a story that I came across, or actually my wife came across this. There's some ants in India. Not exactly a story, but it illustrates the task that we have before us as a church. That we need to focus on. There are some ants in India that found that their way home had been blocked. And defeat was not an option for them. And so faced with a gap in in a wall that was several times the length of their bodies, these resourceful insects decided that they were to link themselves together to create a bridge for their friends to walk over. And so they were joining together, foot to leg, or to, mouth to foot, okay, holding on to each other. And the whole process of joining together took them 2 to 3 minutes. Now, and as you can see here in this second picture, those who had crossed over, they are waiting at the other side to hold and to welcome those who come over. Now, if ants can work together like that, wow, isn't that amazing? We can learn from the ants. The Bible says, look to the ant and be wise. Learn from the ants. As God's last day people, we have been called to the task to be the repairer of the breach. Yes, the breach in many different ways, that can be implied in several ways. There are breaches in terms of truths that have been lost sight of. But there are also breaches between people. The Apostle Paul says that we are to be reconcilers. We're believing we have the ministry of reconciliation, helping reconcile others to Jesus and to encourage one another to stay reconciled to Jesus and to be reconciled to one another. And so we are being called to be the repairer of the breach, the restorer of paths to dwell in, according to the prophet Isaiah. Now, if that's the case, how can there be breaches between us? How can there be breaches between us? As the song says, blessed be he that bind our hearts. Or should I rather put it this way? Blessed be the tie that binds our hearts to Christian love. The fellowship of kindred minds are like that above. And so, you know, that's a song we sing quite often. There will be no breaches in heavenly relationships. There will be no one in heaven with bitterness in the heart. Henry Ford once said, coming together is a beginning. Keeping together is progress. And working together is success. So may God give us true success. And may He purge any root of bitterness from our lives. Remember, nothing is impossible with God. Nothing. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, I'm thankful that You have shared with us many matters of the heart. Things that we need to look at and to receive from You. Thank You, Father, for the promise that nothing is impossible with You as long as we come to You humbly seeking Your help. I don't know, Father, how much bitterness or resentment might be in this congregation, but I've seen it before. But You read every heart. We cannot pretend before You. So, Father, if we come to church with a smiling mask, but there is bitterness behind it, or if we turn away from people in the church because we just have harbored bitter thoughts against them, help us to follow the prescription. Help us, Father, to overcome and to dig out the roots. I pray that Your Spirit and Your Word will help in that process, so that the root of bitterness will be gone and that we will be solidly anchored and rooted in Your Word and rooted in Your love, and that we will have our worth from You instead of reacting negatively to other people. We will look to You and be pillars in the temple of God. Please, Father, go with us today, and may this church press more and more together as one body in Christ. In Jesus' name, amen. At this time, we're going to sing our